Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Hosea, the Old Testament book of Hosea and chapter number 12. We've been marching through this Old Testament book, and now we have reached the end. We find our way to the book of Hosea and chapter number 12. Remember, Hosea is going to be the very first of a section of the Bible we would call the Minor Prophets. They're minor in size, but major in message. And we've been learning that about the book of Hosea, is that this wonderful book is showing the heart of God. And we're able to see, using Hosea and his family as a proxy, the emotions of God, that God is an emotional being, and his feelings towards Israel, who has cheated on him, who has betrayed him, who has committed spiritual adultery on God, and God's brokenheartedness, and yet he still loved them. But understand that God's love doesn't erase consequences that these people continue to stack on. We learn more about this in the book of Hosea chapter 12. Hosea chapter 12, and notice with me starting at verse 1. Hosea 12 and verse 1, Ephraim feedeth on wind, and followeth after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. The Lord also hath a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his doings will he recompense him. And he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel, and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. Therefore, turn thou to God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. He is a merchant, and the balances of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress. And Ephraim said, yet I have become rich. I have found me out substance, and in my labors they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. And I that am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles, as in the days of the solemn feast. And I have also spoken by the prophets, and have multiplied visions, and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal. Yea, that their altars are as heaps in the furrows of the fields. And Jacob fled into the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet he was preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Hosea? Hosea and chapter number 12. And notice with me in verse number 1 where it says, feedeth on the wind. Feedeth on wind. And with this, we're going to see this principle here in Hosea chapter 12 of feeding on wind. Now, those who feed on wind, if you can imagine standing outside being hungry and the wind comes to you and you just start chomping on that wind, is that going to fill you up? Are you going to be satisfied with that? It's carrying a picture that if you're feeding on the wind, you're eating nothing. You're not getting anything of substance. You're not getting anything that's going to strengthen you or fulfill you. Feeding on wind. It says, Ephraim feedeth off wind and followeth after the east wind. Now, the east wind in the Bible, directions are very important. Remember that this is a desert. And so when the wind comes from the east, it is coming across the Sinai Peninsula, which is all desert, and bringing, you have all of that other desert with Iraq and Iran, and it carries all of that wind, and it carries that hot air. So now you're feeding on the wind, and now you're getting this hot air, which is not a nice wind. It's going to dry you out. It's going to make things worse. It's not helping. It's the east wind in the Bible is often, and even in reality, is a wind of destruction, of desolation. It makes the desert bigger. It makes the things go desolate. It's a destroying type of wind. And yet, this is the deceitful type of appetite that the people have developed, that they're feeding on wind. They're following after wind. So notice again in verse 1, Ephraim feedeth on wind and followeth after the east wind. There's a principle here. The principle is what you eat on, what you feed on, is what you're going to desire more and more and more. They were feeding on the wind and then following after the east wind. They're going after it more and more and more. You develop appetites in your life. Let me give an example. Some people can get appetites for certain type of music. Let's just say that someone comes to know Christ as their Savior, and they're stuck on rock and roll. And so when they come and they come to know Christ as their Savior, now we're trying to help them convert, and they find a lot of church music boring. Why? Because they've developed an appetite for rock and roll. And so they find the church music thing boring, and so they have a choice. Do I keep feeding on the rock music, or do I try to change my appetites? Did you know you could change your appetites? You could change what you eat. You could change your diet. But the problem is that people enjoy that type of stuff. They enjoy the desserts. Do you know that there are some people who are addicted to desserts? And they feed off the desserts and feed off the desserts and feed off the desserts, and that's what they have an appetite for. And they don't have an appetite for vegetables. They don't have an appetite for the good things. They need to change their appetite. But what you feed on is what you want more of. People who feed themselves off television want more television. People who feed themselves on Facebook want more Facebook. We develop appetites in our life. Why do some people have a hard time reading the Bible? They never developed an appetite for it. And so it's not something they're used to eating. It's not something that they're used to, but you could change your appetites. In this principle here, we're seeing here is God's people, Israel, who have been feeding on the wind. And now they have a craving for more of it. This wind isn't helping them, but it's causing more destruction. But they think they're fine. They're feeding off of it. They're chasing after it. And there's going to be consequences in their life for having these appetites for things that they should not have an appetite for. Instead of having an appetite for God, they have an appetite for the world. Instead of appetite for the word, they have an appetite for the world. We can control our appetites. By the way, Jesus Christ declares himself as the bread of life. What does that mean? That means he's our satisfaction. He's our provision. He's everything that we need. And when we learn to feed off of him, we have everything that we need and will thrive and prosper because he is that good food. He is that nutrients. What is your appetite like? If you don't mind, let's explore Hosea chapter number 12 and see this principle of feeding on the wind of these people here who had an appetite for worldly things and didn't have an appetite for God. Notice, if you don't mind, the first thing I want to show you is the memorial of the Lord. The memorial of the Lord. Notice with me, if you don't mind, as we just kind of look through here, we could see Ephraim feedeth on the wind and followeth after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation, as they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. As we're seeing this principle here, as they're feeding on the wind and following after it, he daily is increasing lies and desolation. Because he's feeding on it, this is the results. He's getting more lies, more desolation. Things are getting worse and not better. They do make a covenant with the Assyrians. Now, because we've been studying Isaiah, we've been studying more in the Assyrians. Is the Assyrians a good nation to make a covenant with? Not at all. And oil is carried to Egypt. Now, oil is going to be olive oil, and it is going to be their most precious export. So they're taking the thing that's most precious to them and giving it away, giving it to someone else. Instead of enjoying it themselves, they are giving away their most precious exports. By the way, this is exactly what happens. People get an appetite for the world and they give away some of the most precious things they have. I'll give an example. There are some people who develop an appetite for television and they just have to feed themselves for television. And then they have children. And instead of investing the time with the kids, they still got to have the TV time. And they're giving away the thing most precious, time with their children. That's things that you cannot get back. You're investing in the wrong thing and giving away the things that's most precious to you. We need to be very careful about the appetites that we have, because we're giving away things that are very precious to us that we cannot get back. Verse 2, the Lord hath also a controversy with Judah and will punish Judah according to his ways. According to the recompense, he will recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. And he hath power over the angel and prevailed, and he wept and made supplication with him and found him in Bethel. And there he spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. Notice this, the Lord is his memorial. This is speaking about Jacob, who in the Bible went through several significant events. It starts off in verse 3. He, Jacob, took his brother by the heel in the womb. If you remember the story that in Genesis, that you had Isaac who had twins. And inside of the womb, the twins began to fight quite a lot. That was a big deal. They made a big deal in that chapter. And then Esau came out first, and Jacob was the heel grabber. He grabbed his brother by the heel, and as Esau came out, his brother came right out after him. He just had a hold on him. Can you imagine such a thing? He was a heel grabber. And that became the idea of Jacob. It carried the idea of his name. Jacob was a supplanter or a liar. He was the one who was grabbing ahead to get himself ahead, to pull him ahead. Even from a child, he always had that picture. But yet, by his strength, he had power with God. So he started off as a heel grabber, but there's something that happened in his life, and he had encounters with God, by the way, that changed his appetite, changed how he saw things. Notice in verse 4, yea, he had power over the angel. And he prevailed and wept and made supplication with him. Here we have an event here that Jacob, when he was returning back, he actually got in a wrestling match with the Lord. And they were wrestling for hours and hours. And the whole time he's saying, I'm not going to let you go until I get a blessing. He grabbed a hold of God and said, I'm not letting go until I get a blessing. I have to have this blessing. So many people are very quick to let go. But here was a physical altercation that showed this determination. I'm not letting go. I need a blessing of God. I'm not going to quit easy. I'm holding on. I recognize that you have something I don't have. Please bless me. And by the way, the Lord blessed him because he was determined not to let him go. There was a second event in his life, and he found him in Bethel. And there he spake with us. There was another encounter where Jacob had with the Lord, where he was at Bethel and he was running for his life. And he had a dream of the ladder going up to heaven and the angels going up and down it. And they were going to God. And he said, Lord, I see that you're good. And he determined he was going to follow after God and he was going to tithe after God, to worship after him and to follow him. He had these encounters with God that changed how he saw God, and it changed everything. Then notice verse 5. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. These are memorials where he was able to go back and say, this is what God did, and this is what God will continue to do. We have to be careful with this idea of memorial, because oftentimes we'll put God in the past. God is a God who did something for me, but we don't speak about him currently doing something for me. He did this back there, and we leave him in the past. God is not the God of the past. He's the God of the present. He is continually working even now. He is present tense with us. Remember that the name of God, that when Moses stood beside the burning bush and said, what name should I tell him of the God who sent me? And God said, I am. He didn't say I was.
Amen.
I am. Present tense. I am the God who present tense is continuing to work, and I will continue to work in the present tense. And these memorials, we go back and say, this is where I met God, and I can continue to trust him now. God did something back then, and I can continue to trust him now. This is part of that change in the appetites, is that you have to have an encounter with the Lord and see that he's real, to see that he's big, to see that we could trust him. I can trust God, and I'm chasing after him. By the way, just like all the other things, that is, you chase after more rock music, you want more rock music. You chase after more television, you want more television. But when you chase after God, you want more God. By the way, that's the whole definition of the Christian life. It is the never-ending pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many people are not even in the race. But it's pursuit. I want more of God. And the more I have of him, the more that I want him. Developing that appetite of God. I want more, more about Jesus. More, more about him. That I'm developing an appetite for him. And I just want more of him. I'm not satisfied. I want more. That's the whole principle here. Is what you're feeding on is what you want more of. Amen. You could feed on the wind and just get nothing but hot air. Or you could chase after God and continue to chase after him and have a life fulfilled and overflowing because he is worth it. God is the God of the present. Unfortunately, that's not what Israel chased after. Israel did not chase after God. Notice with me as we go, we could see the merchant of Canaan. The merchant of Canaan. Notice with me in verse 6. Therefore, turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on God continually. There's that idea that continually after God. Notice in verse 7, he is a merchant. Now it's speaking here of Jacob now, or Israel. He is a merchant. The balances of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress. Remember, Jacob's name was supplanter. It was a liar. And that's what he was known of. He was known as a liar in the Old Testament before his encounter with God. And God is saying he still hasn't changed his stripe. Israel, Jacob, he's still a liar. He's a merchant. That's interesting. He's a merchant. What does this mean? Verse 8, and Ephraim said, yet I have become rich and have found me substance in all my labors. They have found none iniquity in me that was sin. Remember that God brought Egypt, or brought Israel, brought the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, out of Egypt into the promised land. He told them to conquer all of the land, but they didn't obey. So, remember that the Canaanites in the ancient world served all kinds of sexual, lewd gods. Many of those Canaanites had body parts as their symbols. It was a very lewd, horrible. And God says, we need them gone. Because what's going to happen and what did happen, instead of the Hebrew people converting the Canaanites converted the Hebrew people. They brought them down. And Jacob, Israel, when they came into the land, they made merchant. They said, listen, I'm not going to worry about converting you. I just want to make money off of you. I want to set up my life, and I want to make my life better, and I'm going to use you to do it. And so he made his concentration on making money, making himself prosperous, feeding himself. And he didn't worry about converting them or bringing them to the Lord. And they failed, by the way. God's whole intention was the world to be reached because of the Hebrew people. But instead of doing what God told them to do, they made themselves comfortable and made themselves rich and prosperous from the world. They were making money off of the people they were supposed to win to the Lord, the people that they were supposed to convert, the people that they were supposed to influence. Instead of affecting the world affected them. And now Israel is saying, I am become rich. I have found out, found me substance in all my labors. They shall find none iniquity in me that was sin. This is carrying the idea that those people aren't going to find anything wrong with me because we're the same. We're the same. They're evil, I'm evil. You know, they're not going to accuse me of being wrong. And by the way, the world does not accuse a Christian for exploiting the world to make their own gain. But when it's all said and done, those people are dying and going to hell. And we're the ones who allowed them because we try to make our lives more comfortable. Amen. Instead of making our lives better, we should be reaching out to them. That's what God left us here to do. And yet, when you start working for money and money becomes your goal, you need more money. When you start working for possessions and more material things, you want more material things. What you develop an appetite for is what you want more of. And when you start getting comfortable, you want more comfort. You ever notice that the people who strive for those material things, never satisfied? Some guy who's got all these toys isn't satisfied with the toys he has. He wants one more toy. The guy who wants, has all these trucks, want one more truck. The guy who has all those cars, want one more car. The guy who has a collection, wants one more collection. What you develop an appetite for is what you want the most of. And again, instead of converting the world, what happened is that they made themselves comfortable and they made merchandise and they used the world system. And we're good, we're comfortable, we're where we should be. And at the same time, they're letting them rot and turn into hell. And they didn't do anything to help them. They became the merchants of the people. What a horrible position that they find him in. God wants his people to understand that we're not here for the same purpose that the rest of the world sees. We're here to make God known. The world wants to tell us that all people, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that's what you should chase after. You should chase after happiness, chase after your dreams. That's not what we're here for. And for those who don't have an appetite for God, that sounds horrible. What do you mean you're not chasing after make yourself happy? Yeah, well, sorry. But you know, when you have an appetite for the God, being inconvenienced to go soul winning is not an inconvenience. Amen. Taking the time to read your Bible is not a big deal. But the world doesn't understand that. And for Christians who are chasing after that wind, it doesn't make sense to them either. Why would I give up being comfortable in order to serve God? I'm fine being comfortable. They're making merchant of the people around them, allowing them to go to hell while they themselves are working for their own prosperity. Feeding on the wind. What you get an appetite for is what you're going to continue to want and chase after. But notice there's one more thing. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 10, we see the ministry of the prophets. I have also spoken by the prophets. I have multiplied visions and similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Remember that God speaks to us in three specific ways. He speaks to us through the Bible, primarily. He also uses circumstances, but he also uses other Christians to speak to us, specifically the ministry of the prophets or preachers. You know why you have a preacher? To tell you about these things, to help remind you to change your appetites. You know, if you're not pointed out that you all the candy that you've been eating is bad, you don't realize it's bad. That's why you got doctors to tell you you shouldn't eat so many sweets. We don't like their news, so guess what we do? We ignore the doctor and say, I'm going to do whatever I want. But God sends messengers. He sends prophets. He sends the preachers, the pastors, for the idea that look to God, develop a different appetite, go a different way. You don't realize the destruction you're doing in your pursuit of happiness and your pursuit of wind. God has something so much more for you. And God has sent the prophets. And over throughout history, God has sent a man of God. He sent a prophet. He sent someone with a message of God to go to the people and say, turn, turn, turn. This is the wrong way. The ministry of the prophets. Notice as God starts giving examples. Verse 11, is there any iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal. Yea, their altars are as heaps, as furrows of fields. And verse 11, it's speaking about this idea of looking realistically at the people around them and seeing it's not as good as you think it is. Verse 12, and Jacob, so we're going back again to the Old Testament stories of Jacob. And Jacob fled into the country of Syria, and Israel, which is Jacob, his different name, served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. So he goes back and says, listen, let's go back to history lesson. When Jacob fled from Esau, he fled up to Syria. And there he met his wife, Rachel. Trying to get the right one, wife. And Rachel and Leah, he went and got a wife. And then he served his father-in-law, Laban, for all those years. And then he came back down. He was miserable. If you look at Jacob's life, he is not a happy person the entire time. You say, well, he's got two wives and two concubines. Wouldn't that make him happy? No. Well, he's got 12 sons. Don't you think that would make him happy? No. You know why? 11 sons look at the favorite son, and he happened to have a favorite son, and said, we don't like him anymore, and they sold him into slavery. And then they told their dad that the kid died. Animals tore him apart. And he spent the rest of his life thinking that his son had died. 50 to 60 years thinking that his son had died. And the whole time he's in mourning. He cannot enjoy the kids that are alive because he misses the kid that is dead. And he made everyone miserable around him. Finally, God brings them and says, because of a famine, brings the family together. And now they're living in Egypt. Jacob had spent his time seeking the wind and now is miserable. God brought them to Egypt. There they went from 70 people to 2.5 million people. And God delivered them. How did God deliver the people out of Egypt, which is, by the way, a picture of the world? Through a prophet, a preacher, Moses. And Moses led him out of there to a land where they were supposed to come to God for themselves. That was the purpose. God has always used a preacher. You start at the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, and God has sent a preacher. Why? To deliver a message. Stop where you're going. Look to God. Amen. Change your appetites. Desire after him. Chase after him. Go after God. Look at him. Look at him. That's the whole ministry of the prophets, is to be able to look forward to preaching God's word and to point people to a God who satisfies. Change your ways. That's the idea of repent, by the way. Change your appetites. Change what you're doing. What you're doing is not going to lead you to what you think it is. Go to him. Go to him. Go to him. Notice, if you don't mind, verse number 13, and by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet he was preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall be upon the Lord's return unto him. Ephraim, instead of responding to God, provoked God by ignoring his messengers. So remember, let's just quickly walk through history. So we know that there was a united kingdom by Saul, who was the first king of Israel, followed by David, who was the king after God's own heart, followed by Solomon. Solomon had a son by the name of Rehoboam, but with his foolish decisions, the kingdom was split into two. The first king of the northern kingdom was Jeroboam. When Jeroboam set to be king, he says, let's get rid of the Bible. Let's make golden calves and tell everyone that this is the God that delivered them out. Let's change our holidays, change the priesthood. Let's change how we do things so people don't look at God, but let's still say that we're honoring God. And you know what God did? Is he sent a man of God to point to him and said, no, don't do this. And Israel did not turn. God continued on, and guess what he did? He sent a preacher by the name of Elijah. And Elijah was used of God to see seven major miracles, all preaching to the northern kingdom of Israel. Turn, turn, turn. And they ignored him. In fact, Jezebel tried to kill him. After that, you had Elisha preaching to the northern kingdom. Turn, turn, turn. He did 14 major miracles. Israel refused to turn. They ignored him. They didn't listen to him. God sent a prophet by the name of Amos, who was a southern preacher who went up north to get all those Yankees saved. And they just laughed at that old cowboy and ignored him. God had a prophet by the name of Jonah, who before he went to Nineveh was a prophet to the nation of the kings, and they refused to turn. As you go on, and you could see prophet after prophet to the northern kingdom. You had Hosea, a prophet to the northern kingdom. You had Isaiah, who was a prophet to the southern kingdom, who kept delivering messages to the northern kingdom. You would have these prophets over and over. The Bible lists them trying to say, turn to God, turn to God, turn to God. And they ignored the prophets, and the Bible says they provoked God. What is the word provoke? The word provoke carries a picture of poke, 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 poke. Some of you have brothers and sisters who are good at poking. Poke, 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 poke. It's not fun to get poked after a while, repeatedly, without stopping. That's that idea of provoking. They kept poking God, taking a stick, poke, poke, poke. You know, even God has a limit on his patience. And keep poking and poking and poking. God says, all right, fine, if that's what you want, destruction's going to happen. And destruction did happen. But remember, Hosea is showing Israel the brokenheartedness of God, saying, I don't want to do this to you. I don't want this to happen. You've broken my heart, but there's no other choice. Just listen. It was one last attempt. God has sent a prophet, a preacher with a message of God to try to turn them, to try to get them to have a different appetite. Now, Israel's past, but you're here. God sent an old-fashioned preacher again to open up the Word of God with the idea to change your appetites. Do you have an appetite for God? Is your Bible reading something you just hurry up and get over so you can go back to Facebook? Is it just something you just get out of the way, if at all, just so you can get to your other plan? Do you like to listen to preaching? Do you like going to church? All of those kind of show what appetite you have. Do you have an appetite for the things of God and pursuing after Him? Or are you feeding on the wind? What you feed on is what you desire more of. You can change your appetites. And those times where you said, I can't, God can if you let Him. Amen. You can develop an appetite for the Lord. Believe it or not, I know some of this may sound foreign. You may get to the place where you can't wait to read your Bible every day. There are a time where God can change you, where you love preaching so much you listen to it on your own on Mondays. Well, you love the preaching and the Word of God that you want to hear it more. You'd rather listen to it than listen to some of the other garbage that's on TV. God can change your appetites where you just want more and more about Jesus rather than your own pursuits. What appetite do you have? Let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for you being a wonderful God. And I'm asking that you would help us to change our appetites, that we would have an appetite for you, desire you, and make that our lifelong pursuit to pursue after you, that we would want more and more about you. Lord, help strengthen us up for the work that you would have us to do. Help us to be able to pay attention and seek after you during our morning service, that we could trust you even more. Thank you for this reminder and this lesson. And again, help us to take an honest evaluation of our own life. What do we have an appetite for? What is it that we desire to have? Lord, help us even now. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.